Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. And as you're finding your place there tonight, let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask God to speak to our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight that we're able to call upon you. Lord, it is a great privilege and a great honor knowing that you're hearing and listening to our prayers. Lord, I pray tonight that you would use me, guide me, and how you want to use me tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and we ask it in your Son's name. Amen. There's three things that I want to look at here tonight. You mean you got a three-point sermon within the past 10 minutes? Yes. It can be done. And we'll have fun with it. There's three things that I want to look at tonight. And when I get to those three things, I'm going to stress it as I say that word. We'll begin reading verse number 13 through verse number 21. It says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Did you get that? I emphasize that family part. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Three things that I stress here tonight that got a hold of my heart is the word family, is the word saints, and is the word church. All three of these things go together when you begin to look at this part of Scripture. Now, I'm going to take these three words and I'm just going to kind of go off on this, if I may. Because I think there are some times where when you're doing God's work and when you're wanting to give a message and when he prompts you to do something, there's some times where you just have to be absolutely real. And I just want to say, first of all, how important a family is. Not just the church family, and I will get to that in a little bit, but I'm talking about the physical family that God has enriched every single one of us with, and I'm talking about your blood family. The blood family that God has given us is something that is very unique when you think about it. We didn't ask for them, did we? God gave them to us. And because of that thing, we should consider that a true gift that God has bestowed upon our life. See, you and I, as we go out through life, we can pick and choose our friends. But you don't have that privilege to pick and choose your siblings. And I have older siblings in here tonight, and they were probably maybe disgusted when I came along. And I don't know those things. I do know that they love me, right? Okay. One, thank you, Jeff. Chris is just smiling. Oh, you shook it. I don't see people in the audience. Everybody's a blur to me. But I'm thankful for those things because family is somebody that you can truly depend upon in life. Jesus had a physical family, did he not? He had his mother Mary. He had siblings that he did things with, that he had things in common with them, that he needed them at certain times in their life. And so tonight, as we go through life, there are some things that are thrown in our direction that a lot of us, we don't understand those things. One of them is death. We don't understand why people have to go through those things. I mean, we do. When you think about it, it's sin, for the wages of sin is death. I get that part of it. But when death comes into a family, who's right there with you? It's your family. They're your support group. They're the ones who encourage you along the way. They're the ones that have your back. And thankful for those things. I'm thankful not only that I have the privilege tonight of having a blood family that was given to us by our mother and father, but I'm also thankful tonight that I'm here with a family that is bound by blood as well, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is very important to me. I look at all of you that are in here tonight as a very vital part of my family. I really do. Some of you are I considered great, 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 great grandpas. Did I get enough greats in there, Doc? There are some of you that I consider great uncles. You know what I'm talking about, great aunts and things like that. You know, there's just things that I look for you guys. I come to some folks in times for advice and for counsel. And you can only do those things because you feel comfortable. You feel like you can do those things. Why is that? It's because we're family. And that's a unique thing when you begin to think about those things. But it's going through this past week that I've gone through with my wife and not really understanding the emotions that she is going through. And I'm being quite honest with you. I don't understand her emotions. That's because this death is affecting her more than it is affecting me. It's her father. And I can't sit there and say, honey, I know what you're going through, because that's a flat-out lie. I don't know what she's going through. But I do know what I can do, because God brought us together 23, 24 years ago and brought us together as a family. But I do know this, that I can be there for her every single need. Sometimes I don't know what to say, and sometimes she probably says, just shut up. More often shut up than those things. But I'm thankful for that tonight. Family is, again, they're unique. There's some times where they can be overburdensome. Let's be honest. Oh, are we going through this again? Everybody's coming over. We have those thoughts and those emotions. But I'm thankful tonight that God has given me a family that I can depend on, not only with my blood family through our bloodline, but also our blood family through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for those things. You look at the word saint in here in verse number, where is that? I've seen it in here. Verse number 18. Since we are being honest with each other, when we come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, Jesus, God, looks at us as what? Saints. Okay? Q, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't look at you as a saint. I really don't. I mean, you're sitting down here tonight with your shirt untucked and your tie, no tie on, you know. I don't see a saint. You know, I'm just playing with you. But even though family, we have our quirks about each other, do we not? We sit there and say, well, this so-and-so, you know, he's got this problem. I really can't depend on my brother for this. You know, these things are natural things that we go through. And then we begin to pick out the things that annoy us about each other. But the one thing that I like about family is, one, we're brought together by God. Two, through the blood of Jesus Christ, after we accept him, Christ looks at us as saints. And I tell you what, that is very special to think about those things. I used to kind of laugh at Doc when Doc would tease my sister Christy and ask how she's doing or something like that, and she'd say, I'm perfect or I'm a saint. And they'd laugh, they have a good time. Like, this isn't true. I know my sister. Doc, you're fooled. You know, I would say those things in my head. I've never said it out loud to you, Doc. But I just did. I just ratted myself out. But I began to look at this scripture even further on in life, saying, how true is that? God doesn't look at our sins in our life. God looks at us as saints. Because when we came to him as our Lord and Savior, and when we asked him to save us from hell to heaven, we asked him for forgiveness of sins. And he forgave our past, he forgave our present, and he forgave our future. And so because of that, that is another gift when you think about those things. But God and his Son looks at us as saints. He doesn't bring back those things, hey, you remember how you used to be? He doesn't do those things. But what do? We do. All that does is just put fuel to the fire with individuals. And that's something that you and I should really think about. You know, let's steer clear of this thing. Because if God looks at us as saints, should we not look at each other as saints? We're on the same boat, are we not? We're going to the same destination. So why are we trying to, what's this word I'm trying to use here? Why are we trying to discourage each other on the way? As a family, are we not to encourage each other, to build each other up in no sense? And when we look at the word saint, we ought to look at it the way God looks at it, not bring up everybody's past. You know, that's one of the worst things that we do, Mary Ann, is when we get into an argument. Well, you did this 3 years ago. Well, whoop-de-doo. Jesus wouldn't bring that up to me. Why? Because he looks at me as a saint now. He forgave me in my past, present, and future. And that's something, again, we should treasure in our heart. And so with family that we have been brought into the worldly family, the physical family, and also into the blood family, we need to have a different outlook on life when it comes to us being so negative towards one another. I'm saying all this for a reason. You'll catch all this at the end. Hopefully I'm doing a good job explaining to this. So now we have family. Now we've dealt with the word saint. Now we're going to look at the last verse. It says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages. When I look at the word church, you know what else I see there? A word that's not mentioned. But if you go back up to the first verse that we read, you'll see it in there. It's the word family. You know, because we are brought together through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're establishing ourselves as a family. Now we have become saints. God looks at us totally different. And now we look at the word church, and I see the word family once again. And it's very special when you begin to think about those things. The church that I have been brought up in my whole entire life, I shouldn't say my whole entire life because I'm still breathing, I'm still kicking. I haven't kicked the bucket yet. So the most of my life that I can remember has been a church to people outside this world. You can sit there and say, yeah, I go to Open Door Baptist Church, and people say, yeah, I've heard of that church. I know where that's located. Hey, is it down there by the interstate? Hey, how many people do you have going to your church? Or how many times a week does your church meet? Or how many programs does your church have? Those, I'm going to be quite honest with you folks, those things don't come to my mind. What comes to my mind is, what family member am I going to see at church today? I truly do. Every time that I wake up on a Sunday morning, or I shouldn't say wake up on a Sunday night because I don't really take naps, but anyway, when I have that opportunity to come to church, I think, man, what family member am I going to see tonight? What family member can I be a blessing to tonight? I think of those things. And then I walk out of church and think, man, I didn't get a chance to be a blessing to so-and-so. But so-and-so was a blessing to me. See, I look at church as a family. Christ looks at church as a family too, because he's going to return for his church, which is very dear to him, his bride, his family. I look at these things and I'm so blessed to know that I have a great support system when it comes to my physical family. Even though there are times where we have been at odds with one another, and sometimes it's been a public display in our past. A lot of you folks have witnessed our embarrassing moments, but because you're also part of our family, you've forgiven us of those things. But even despite of us having those odds and not getting along with one another and not seeing eye to eye on things, God sure has a way of humbling us to making us act like the family that he designed a family to act like. And sometimes we have to be humbled along the way. I've been humbled a lot, and I'm going to continue to be humbled. And I want God to humble me. But I'm glad we're able to move beyond everything that we have allowed things to hang us up to have that relationship that we should so desire to have with one another. At the end of the day, folks, we're not guaranteed of our next breath, are we? We're not guaranteed that we might have the privilege of waking up in the morning. We make plans, do we not? Hey, I'm going to see you tomorrow morning. Can't wait to see you. We'll meet at Duncan's Cafe and have some breakfast. You know, things of that nature. Sometimes those plans don't come true. The book of James says life is nothing but a vapor. It's here one day, it's gone the next. I've often looked at the cemetery as I've been up there quite a few times, and I look at the headstones. It's always got a date on there. The date of the birth, where the person was born, then it's got the end date. I've come to realize the beginning and the end is not the important thing. It's that line in between. That line represents that person's life. That line often represents an individual who has a family. So I'm thankful again that I've been able to have the family that I have. See, so often we become too busy, Doc, in our life. We go from one direction to the next direction, not really taking time out to really pay attention to the things that are around us that are very important to us. I'm very guilty of that. And there's times where I shelter myself. I'll say the word, I'm an introvert. Can you believe I used a big word? And I know what it means. I'll have to look it up again later to make sure I do. But we don't have, and we're not guaranteed that time when we will meet again. Life is so short. It's unknown. Some are blessed with a long life. Some are blessed with a very short life. You know, the Bible says, if you honor your mother and father, your days may be long. You notice that verse doesn't say how long it's going to be. It doesn't say that. It's just going to be long. But with that being said, again, as my life has become busy, and as I go about my life on a daily basis, going here and there, and sometimes not even really taking a chance to smell the roses that God has put in front of me, and sometimes not being very grateful of the things that have been bestowed upon me through Him just blessing my life. I had a great privilege a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night, for the very last time that I laid my eyes on my father-in-law as he was alive. Something prompted me, and I shouldn't say something, the Holy Spirit prompted me to go over to a man that has kind of really sheltered himself away from a lot of individuals. I walked over to him, sat down with him. He slept all day long. The whole entire time I was there, he slept the whole entire time. He got up, just have a bite to eat, then to go back to sleep. I grabbed him by his hand, and I asked him if I can pray with him. And at that time, some things became very real to me. This is my family that God has put me in. And so I took the time, through prayer, to thank him for the things that he's taught me in life. So I say this tonight to you folks, again, because we have no idea, and I'm not sitting up here saying, oh, all doom is gloom. I'm not saying those things. But we do need to take the time to say thank you, to say I love you, to say I care about you. Those words are very important to an individual's life. And don't fool yourself and say, I don't need to hear those words. Because I need to hear those words. Just like a son growing up in a father's home, a son craves to hear from their father, good job. There is something, my father doesn't know this. It's probably about 7-8 years ago. I was up in Sioux City preaching a Valentine banquet. And you know our pastor, outside of preaching, sometimes he doesn't talk much. Believe me, I know, because I drove with them to Colorado and they don't talk much. There's times where I thought he was crazy because we go fishing and all of a sudden you sit there and say, "Here, fishy, fishy, fishy." I'm like, you know those things. It's like, "Dad, are you okay? Are you sick?" We've often wanted to get a shirt made up for that. By the way, if you go fishing, Dad, don't forget your fishing pole because you've done that before. And take your heart thing with you. I heard about that this morning. But there's something that meant so much to me I want to share with you folks. And to publicly share with my father. Because we're not guaranteed. None of us are. One of the proudest moments that I've ever experienced I get done teaching up there. You can call it preaching if you like. I get done. My father's there. I think it was one of the last times we went. He walks up to me. And he doesn't say a word. Doesn't say a word. You know what he does? Stand up, Joe. He just walks by, does that. Didn't say nothing else. And I knew what that meant. Amen. That little touch says, "Son, I'm proud of you." See, we don't get to do do-overs. So I'm thankful tonight for my family. And you guys in here as well, because you're my family. Sometimes we don't always say that we love each other out loud. Sometimes we don't voice it. But that little grab on the elbow says it all. It says little things. And I had no idea what was being done until later in life. So from the bottom of my heart, folks, if you don't hear me say I love you, if I grab you on your elbow, it's the same thing. I love the family that God has brought me into. I love what it means to me. I love how we're there for each other and how we have each other's backs. That all comes because we have one thing in common. There's a lot of things that I disagreed with my father-in-law on. But at the end of the day, we can sit there and argue back and forth, but we loved each other because of who we had in common, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. See, sometimes we might not be lovable, but we got to stop and think, hey, we have Christ in common. Folks, I know I'm kind of rambling, and I probably don't make sense tonight, but this is something that God just said, hey, I want you to go this direction. So I'm being obedient to His calling on this. 3-point sermon. We're a family. We're saints. And God wants to bring glory to the church. And that church is the family of God. Years ago, we used to sing at the end of the service every so often, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." I remember those days. I treasure those days. And I know what you're talking about, as you said you had a new song in your heart. It's because you feel like you're part of the family. Folks, I love you tonight. I care for you. I pray for you. And you mean a lot to me. Q and I used to pass each other years ago, and we used to always do this. He knows. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the family that you have brought us to. Lord, we're not here by accident. We're here because you brought every single one of us together. Lord, help us to treasure each other. Lord, help us to be there for each other. Lord, help us to lift each other up. Help us to encourage one another. Lord, I know that there are folks who are going through some difficult times in our church. Lord, I think of Virginia and the physical pain that she's going through right now, and it's going to have some hard months ahead of her. Lord, help us to be a help to her. Lord, I think of Julia, who has such a desire to be with his family tonight and on Sunday mornings. Lord, she misses us so dearly. So, Lord, help us to be an encouragement to her, whether it be through a phone call, a card, or just stopping over and visiting. Lord, I think of Mrs. Nelson, Lord, who has a great desire to be around the family of God, and she sits in the service in pain so many times. Lord, I think of Roseanne, and Lord, and her physical pains that she goes through. But Lord, I mention these folks, and Pastor and Mrs. Springer as well, I mention these folks for a reason, because they have a desire to be around God's family. They see the importance of it. Lord, help us as the younger generation to catch on to that. Lord, I think of Doc and Dee, who have probably heard over so many messages I probably can't even number. Lord, they probably have heard every single thing that we can think of, but yet they're still here because of their love, not only for you, but for the family of God. Lord, again, bless us as we leave from here. Thank you for letting me see the importance of the family that you have placed us in. And Lord, help us to stop and smell the roses and just to say, I love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In your name, amen.